Oh, is this on? Whoops. I need somebody who's buffed. Oh, never mind. I got it. Hey, give it up for Sky. Skyler, thanks, bro. That's cool. Even when you have absolutely no voice, you still sound better than most of us. If I could sing like you, I would walk around. My whole house would be like a musical. I'm brushing my teeth. Sorry, guys. I'm not quite ready. Are you guys ready? Yeah? Hey, can we get the lights up a little bit? I want to look at eyeballs. I'm here to look at into eyeballs and souls this morning. Let's get my shot clock on, make sure we're done. We'll get you out of here by 2:30. Good morning. First things first, whose keys are these? Be all you can be. GoArmy.com. Who dis? What's your name? What was it? Cora? Cora, stand up. Everybody say, hey, Cora.
Hey,
I found your keys.
We found keys.
All right, come and grab them. All right, here. Everybody give her a round of applause for losing her keys this morning. Is Emery in the house? Where's Emery at? Hey, could you come here real quick, dude? Everybody say, hi, Emery. Come up on the stage. You're a swan. I'm sure you have no problem being up on a stage. You can do the young person thing where you can just like parkour that. Look at that. Look at those knees. Give it up for those knees. Rumor has it it's your birthday. All right. Hey, guys, you know what we're going to do? Yeah, get going. Get going. Here we go. How old are you? I'm 16, dude. You're not even supposed to be here. Get him out. Security. All right. It's my birthday. You guys, my birthday was on Wednesday, and y'all missed my birthday. I turned 23, so let's get it going again. No. It wasn't happy. Guys, trust me. Okay. Good, guys. All right. Good morning. Y'all doing all right? All right, let's try that again. Hey, good morning. You guys doing all right? All right. Hey, do me another favor. Why don't you everybody stand up real quick? I know you're just standing and you're excited to sit down. You want to get sleepy. You want to check out. Ain't happening. Everybody stretch. Get it out. Oh, get the sleepies out. Say, Lord, deliver me from sleepies. All right, now look at the neighbor you just elbowed and say, neighbor, did you know God has a good word for you this morning? All right. No, hey, they didn't believe you. Look at the other neighbor you elbowed. Say, hey, neighbor, I want you to know God's got a good word for you this morning. All right, they believed you, right? Cool. Those are your ride or dies. All right. Let's get out of here. All right, let's pray. We'll be done. No. Have a sit down. What's up, guys? My name is Brian. It's an honor to be with y'all this morning. One of the pastors over at the Rock Church over in Salt Lake City, Utah. Let's see. Oh, let's do this. I think that. Yeah, all right. Do this. Here's my family. That's about as serious as it gets. That's my lovely bride, Celise. And my 14-year-old boy, Wesley, and then my 10-year-old daughter, Piper. They are a joy to my life. I love them a lot, and they tolerate me very well. They are very patient with me, which is on brand for our topic this morning. Obviously you can tell, I'm just here to have a silly goose time. I think you're not here for very long, and the Lord's going to call us home. So in the meantime, we should just try and enjoy this bumpy ride, yeah? A little bit more about me. I've been a pastor at the Rock Church since 2014. Let's see what else. I enjoy musicals. You guys, any of y'all in here like musicals? Without saying Wicked, because again, that's also, I'll ask you to be removed. Does anybody have any good suggestions on musicals recently y'all been listening to? New, yeah. That's a good one. Not very new. Hamilton, not very new. Okay, what were we doing? Hadestown? That's a good one. Have you guys heard Hadestown yet? Check it out. It's pretty fun. Cool. Anybody, there's a great one. It was a movie, and then they turned it into a musical. It's called Waitress. Anybody heard that one? Oh, that's a tearjerker. That's a good one. You should check that out. We enjoy musicals in our home. I enjoy a lot of metal, death metal, black metal, Swedish thrash metal. Anybody in the house listen to scary, spooky music that your parents have warned you and prayed that you'd be protected from your whole lives? Reeves, my guy, he knows what's up. Anybody got any good music I need to check out on the drive home?
Era.
Who?
Era.
Spell it. Use it in a sentence.
E-R-R-A, self-titled album.
Era. E-R-R-A. You guys doing your homework? What else?
Classical.
Classical death metal? Like death or like entombed? Carcass. I like classical death metal, like the OGs. All right. Not Morbid Angel. Those guys are trash. Wait, who? Classical? Say that again. Just classical. Okay. Okay, that sounds good. I like it. There's a cool band called Apocalyptica. They do like metal versions of really cool cellos and violins. You should check it out. All the metal bands, they just rip off classical music. You're like, that's a really incredible riff. And it's like, oh, that's like Mozart. Huh? No, we're in a church. We don't say that. Oh, no, Megadeth. We're also in a church. We don't say that. Dave Mustaine, he's a believer. He'll be with us in eternity, but hopefully the Lord doesn't give him a mic to lead us in worship. That would not be good for anyone. So that's a little bit about me. God saved me at 23 years old. How many of y'all are 23 years old? How many of y'all are younger than 23 years old? Cool, right on. I didn't even step into a local church until I was 23 years old. God saved me. The gospel is incredible. I've been a part of the Rock Church since 2006. Fun fact, I came here for the first time, Fort Collins, in 2007. There was some sort of conference here. And I was like, yeah, going out of my way to go be somewhere I don't know anybody and sleep on somebody's floor that I don't know doesn't sound very appealing. And yet I came anyways. And it was amazing. And I didn't sleep on anybody's floor. I slept on the floor in the library here in this building. It was a horrible experience, sleep-wise. But what happened, that conference was amazing. It was revolutionary for me to take a step of faith and obedience and to get out of my comfort zone to drive somewhere that was more than 20 minutes away from my home and away from my kiddies. And come hang out with folks that I don't know and be vulnerable and share opportunities to maybe be exposed. Those are very frightening things. And y'all have done a similar thing today. You've come to show up that's to a thing over the next few days that's out of your comfort zone. So I just wanted to say I'm proud of you, okay? Great job. Don't clap to that. I'm complimenting you. Don't clap when somebody compliments you, okay? So it changed my life. And I'm hoping the Lord does something like that for you today, too. Maybe you're feeling that way. Oh, man, it's taken a lot of faith. God has to help me. He's stretching me to come and be a part of this. That's the whole point. We don't want you guys to go back home and go, that's cool. All right, Bob's Burgers, let's go. We want you to leave changed. Any of you guys here, I taught a youth conference here a couple years ago. Were any of you the youth and now you're the young adults? Oh, that's so cute. Look at how big you guys are now. Oh, I'm so proud of you. You as well are very encouraging. Probably as you know, you've seen many of your peers throughout high school and through the years bounce. You probably look around this room and go, oh man, there's probably 20, 30, 40 folks that you have grown up with in the faith, and they're not here today, right? We're being honest. Hopefully, maybe that's not true. Maybe they're all here, and that's incredible. But that's just a little tip to the faithfulness that you have, that you're still here, you're still present, you're still loving Jesus, you're still loving the local church. That's a fruit of the Spirit. God has given you that ability to love and serve and be faithful in these things, and you're still here. That's an incredible thing. And so we're going to roll in. What did I do? Was that me? All right. The Lord wanted some silence there for a minute. So before we get going, let's just say this. We're going to talk about faithfulness and patience. But right now, you are probably incredibly distracted. You are going to have 350 moments this morning to distract you. Something. It's going to be your phone. It's going to be your phone. It's going to be that light bulb. It's going to be your flesh. It's going to be your phone. It's going to be the sleepies. There's going to be so many distractions for you today. So I just want you to call it out. There's a spiritual reality here. There's an implication that God wants to speak. God wants you to be present. But you're going to be so distracted. You're going to be so distracted. I am probably so distracting. So why don't you think for a minute, what is it that's distracting you? And then we'll get going, I promise. But for the next minute, I want you to just think. I don't want you to look over at your neighbor and get distracted. I want you to get down on your phone. I got a minute. I'll get distracted. I'm asking you for the next minute to push all that away and have the Lord make it clear to you. What's distracting you this morning? What is it that may be preventing you from being totally present with God's people in this room, in this moment? I'll give you a moment to think about that. And as you're thinking about that, why don't you ask God, God, will you remove that? Would you give me heart, ear, soul, mind to respond and hear from you this morning? I'm going to give you that moment now, and then I'll pray, and then we'll start. Lord, we ask for you to help us this morning. God, we are so distracted. As I look down at my pants, I have breakfast on my pants. That is a distraction. Lord, you'd help us with whatever it is, keeping us from seeing you clearly, from hearing from you this morning. God, from maybe the work that your Spirit's trying to do in our lives. Would you help us now? God, as we come to you, as I'm distracted, I don't even have my Bible, so I'm going to walk down and grab my Bible. God, we ask that you help us this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Bring his Bible to the stage, guys. Okay. Have you guys ever been in that group chat and you text people something and you're like, hey guys, blah, 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 you know, something really important, and then nobody responds? Amen. Not like nobody saw it, right? It says read. It shows you the timestamps that everybody read it. You guys want to talk about, anybody been there? Nobody responds. They just ghost, they stare at what you said, and it's just like, pfft. At first, you're like, oh, that's not a big deal. Whatever. They're busy. I get it. I'm not gonna lose my mind right now. I'm not spiraling out of control. And then the next day, somebody says something completely unrelated. It's just like some dumb meme. And it just goes off. Everybody's just like, oh, dude, I know. Cats walking across the street. Oh. And you're like, okay, yeah, I'm spiraling for sure now. You start to feel it, right? Oh, man. I have no patience. I'm done being faithful. I'm sick of this. I feel like anytime I try and reach out or connect or just do the Jesus thing, people just aren't responding. You start to feel that patience draining. That faithfulness feels pointless. You start thinking, man, why bother? I'm like, any of y'all ever feel that way before? 6, 7, 8, 12 of you. Okay. But we feel this in other areas too, don't we? We show up and we serve and we give our time and energy to folks and still just kind of like nothing. The people in your small group, they're just kind of flaky. They're just not responding. They just don't seem like you're the 12th or 14th best option for them. Like there's just so many better things for them to do than to show up. Or the family member just is still just kind of a brat, dude. Like I just cannot believe how rude this sibling is. Or maybe it's the leader, one of your church leaders. They don't reply to you the way, they don't respond to you the way that you hoped that they would. Or there's a church hurt. Somebody hurt you or said something or done something and it doesn't get resolved as quickly as you want. And eventually something in you starts saying, man, why bother? Like, why keep trying? I'm done being so patient. I'm done being faithful. You ever been there before? Everybody can say amen, yeah? Been there. I've been there lots. That's why I think this message matters. We've all had those moments where we feel like, man, I'm just going to tap out, especially with other people. This morning, we can go a lot of directions when it comes to patience and faithfulness. We could dive deep into our fears and our temptations. We can talk about trials in seasons of life and despair, and God, do this, and we can talk about persecution. We could spend so much time in all those areas, but this morning I wanted to focus, which I feel like the Lord has helped me rewire and kind of blow this whole message up and start over like 1:30 last night. I think we're just going to focus specifically on our patience and faithfulness with one another, with people. Is that okay? So when you come with me with the theological, what about, it's like, we're just talking about people right now, okay? I think we could be all right. We'll do okay. Your patience and your faithfulness is going to be tested most by the people around you. Travis talked about the people closest to you. Those are the people that are going to burn you and offend you and sin against you and rub you the wrong way more than anyone else on this planet. And so I think it's okay for us this morning to speak about how God wants to help us in our relationships. Because honestly, those two things right there, they don't really pop off. Those things don't really flourish when things are groovy. It's almost always tested. Those things are always tested when things are hard, when people are difficult, when life isn't easy. And so I want you to consider this thought this morning. The Spirit of God, Christian, the Spirit of God is in you. The Holy Spirit is your helper, is your inheritance. The Spirit of God wants to grow something in you, in those spaces and in those relationships, in those areas where you are very tempted to just be done, to cancel, to be, I'm just done being patient. I'm done reaching out. I'm done. The Spirit of God wants to grow you in exactly those areas. So before we get into the 101s of how God desires us to be more faithful and patient, let's just begin with God, okay? You can write this down in your Trapper Keeper if you would like. This will help you stay awake. It is good for us as believers to remember the patience and faithfulness of God. Psalm 86 says this, "But you, O Lord, are a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." So this verse is telling us about the nature of God. God is a person, he is real, he is personal, and this is who he is. He does not deal with you and I the way that our sins deserve. Amen. He is gracious to you when you don't deserve to be have grace demonstrated towards you. He gives you what you have not earned. He is slow to anger towards you. He is not easily provoked towards you, but he is abounding. He is overflowing and steadfast love and faithfulness towards you. This is the nature and character of God towards you. He does not get short with you the way that people get short with you. He doesn't get short with you the way that you get short with other people. He doesn't react out of irritation towards you. He is patient with your doubts and your fears and your worries and your questions and your failures and your wanderings. He continues to be merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness towards you. Amen. And what's even more incredible, the scripture also says that when we remain faithless, when we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. So there is an attribute, there is a reality about the person that is God, the triune God, that his faithfulness towards you is not dependent on your faithfulness or faithlessness towards him. God continues to be faithful to you even when you're not. That's amazing. That's your shouting hallelujah, amen moment. I'll give you a minute to do that. Amen. God has been faithful to us, not because we are good, but because he is God. That is the truth about who God is. He is the most faithful, and you this morning are at the Live Full Conference. Some of y'all are wearing the t-shirts. But how do we do that? How do we live full of faithfulness? It's in the word, faithfulness. Well, now we've got to be talking about sanctification. This is not something that we easily do on our own. This is something that God has to help us with. So how do we, what does it mean for you and I to become more faithful? Now we got to make a distinction here because this is important. We notice when the Bible speaks about faithful, people being faithful, it is not talking about their strong belief or how much faith they have, right? It's talking about the kind of person they are. Now we know faithful people in the Bible, we know our heroes of the faith. They were full of faith. We know, we believe that faith is a gift from God. God gives us the gift of faith to believe in the life and the death and the resurrection and the person and work of Jesus Christ and his atonement on our cross are sufficient to cover our sins. By faith, that is a gift that we have received to even believe that this is how good God has been to us. Faith is a gift, but faithfulness is different. When we see faithfulness in Scripture, it's not just what you believe, it's who you are and who you're becoming. And so our next big idea, to live full, we must recognize that faithfulness is a life. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians, you guys, this is the verse. It's a character quality. It is something that God does in us. It's a new life that God is rewiring in us. So it's not, well, I guess it is. Your faithfulness is reflected in what you do or what you don't do when people are watching or when no one is watching, when it could be really easy to quit. When Scripture speaks about faithfulness, it's talking about who you are. Proverbs 20 says, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? In other words, everyone writes up a good about me section on social media. But not everyone's showing up when life is hard. The faithful man, the faithful woman, hard to find. Scripture says that. Faithful people are rare. Faithfulness is rare. That's not the norm. But Galatians, beloved, says, for you who are in Christ, faithfulness is the fruit. It is the fruit. It is the result. It is the ongoing work of God's sanctifying power and work in your life. It's the evidence that you've been changed by the patience and faithfulness and love of God. Many of us want to be that rare person, don't we? We want to say, put it in our, yep, that's me. You're all going to put Proverbs 26 in your about me profile. That's me. It's really, we want to be the faithful man, the faithful woman. We want to be faithful with the big things. This is Zeke's prayer alarm. He's got to pray. We want to be faithful with the big things. We want to be faithful with the little things, but if we are honest, we find that faithfulness is always leaking out of us. We're leaky. When we say yes to helping with that big move. And then we just ghost everyone in that text message the day it's time to move. We show up, oh, I forgot. We commit to the small group. Yeah, I'll come to your community group. Yeah, I'm gonna be there. And then we have an extra, we have an exit plan in our back pocket just in case something better shows up that evening. We tell someone, I'll pray for you. And then guess what? You don't pray for them. We're leaky creatures. We want to say we're faithful people. God says, man, anyway, we can proclaim our steadfast love all day long, but a faithful man, a faithful woman, who can find? God has to help us. We're leaky. So how do we stop the leak? The easy answer, Jesus. Abiding in Christ, yep. That's the whole idea here, that we would leave here convinced that, man, if you and I was just cling to Jesus, if we would rely and depend and walk with Jesus, oh, man, everything would just change. Everything would be, that's the fruit of the Spirit. That's the whole theme this weekend. But how do we live full of faithfulness? How can God help us here practically? I want to give you a verse from Psalms. This is David, Psalm chapter 37. Gives us some good insight here. Trust in the Lord. Got it. Yep. Intellectually, yep. Jesus lived and died and rose for me. Yep. My only hope for this life and the next is the Lord Jesus. Amen. Trust. Do good. Cool. Yep. I'll do that. Yep. Sure. I'm going to get that door for you, my lady. Dwell in the land. Dwell. God dwelled with us. God came to be with us. Intentional, right? Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Have you ever noticed that? Befriend faithfulness. As a faithfulness as a person, right? It's interesting. God is the most faithful. You are spiritual people. You're to be faithful. And Psalm 37 is saying, befriend faithfulness. There's a lot going on behind that word. In the Greek, it's actually where we get the word shepherd. So Scripture isn't telling us to admire faithfulness from a distance. It says to befriend it, to shepherd it, to nurture it, to walk with it, to guide it, to stay near to it, to choose it daily. Befriend faithfulness. I want you to lock in right now. This matters today more than probably ever in your world. You belong, Travis mentioned this last night, you belong to the most connected generation in human history. You walk around, you're connected to the whole world instantly. And yet data tells us that your generation is statistically the most lonely and depressed. How? You have access to everything. You have hundreds and hundreds of friends online, in your pocket, at your phone. At a moment's, and yet statistics will say that 73% of young adults, your generation, feel like no one knows you. We have the world at our fingertips, but we're not touching, we're not influencing anyone. Beloved, the evidence of the Spirit of God in you to become the faithful men and women who are hard to find, God has to help us. Faithful man, faithful woman, they're hard to find. Where are they? God says, befriend faithfulness. It's alive. Right now, your friends, your world, your circles, your local church, what they need is your presence. Befriend faithfulness. It matters. Your staying matters. Your faithfulness matters more than you think to the person's faith who is strengthened because you've encouraged them by staying. And those hard seasons, those rough seasons in their life, many people proclaim their love. Yeah. A faithful friend that'll show up with you in those brutally hard moments, those are the men and women that are hard to find. That's why your faith matters. Your faithfulness matters. The sister whose loneliness is eased because you didn't disappear. Faithfulness is a life. The brother whose walk with Jesus is growing stronger because you're consistently faithful to be present in their life. It's faithfulness. That's the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit working in you. He is making you to be more of a friend like Jesus to them. For you, beloved, befriending faithfulness is a way of life. So, are you faithful? Not just showing up to the big event. Everybody's going to be there. Showing up to the not so fun things. Not just faithful when it's easy and convenient, or when certain people are watching. Oh, the pastors are going to see this. Nice. Faithful maybe in the things where nobody sees what's going on. Are you faithful in the small things? The ordinary things? The behind the scenes? Nobody's going to see this. Things? Do you notice where the Spirit of God has been changing you? I'm not saying maybe it's overnight, but you can think of who you were and where Jesus has taken you today. Have you noticed the Spirit begin to change you? Do you notice in those situations where you used to bail, band gets up for the last song, you are gone. Now, you stick around. Like, oh wow, God must be helping me here. I'm buying into this idea that God has something good for me here, and it's not in the parking lot and out the driveway before the last song's over. That's the evidence of God helping you grow. Have you noticed in the areas where you used to react emotionally? Everything's just an emotional reaction, and God's helping you to pause and respond wisely. That's the evidence of faithfulness. When you'd rather stay at home and doom scroll, and you get your butt out of bed and you head over to small group, you go like, whoa, what am I doing here? How did that happen? That's the evidence of God working in your life. Faithfulness. When you try to get away with not helping, you find yourself in the middle of whatever need is needed. You're just there. You're just present. That is faithfulness. Faithful men and women are hard to find. Not in the people of God. Are you faithful? Again, I'll say this. When you feel like the pressure kicking up against you, like, oh man, but you don't know this person, you don't know the situation, right? Or when you find yourself just tempted to just disengage, I don't wanna be here, I don't wanna do this. Oh no, they're calling me again. Oh no, Lord. To walk away from that frustrating brother or sister. Those are the moments where the Spirit of God is actively growing faithfulness in you. Those are the moments where God is moving. Don't move out. This is not self-help. This is sanctification. God's ongoing work, conforming you to be more like Jesus Christ every day. Not instantly, not overnight, but this slow, rocky, bumpy, people-infested process of becoming more like Jesus. This is not just about believing the gospel. It's about demonstrating a life that has been changed by it. That is the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Are you faithful? So now as we move on, staying faithful is one thing. Staying faithful without growing impatient is another. That's why we'll turn now to patience, the companion, the buddy system to faithfulness. And often, patience is often the guy who is quick to burn the bridge that faithfulness is always attempting to watch over. Patience is the first one to go. You cannot be faithful very long without patience. I've heard it said once, patience is faithfulness applied to people and circumstances. Faithfulness says, okay, I'm here. I'm not leaving. And patience says, and I will do it without becoming bitter in the process. Without. If we're honest, the second part is much harder. I'll ask you another question.
What's easier for you?
What's harder for you? Staying faithful? Yep, I'm just here. I ain't going anywhere. Staying faithful. Yep, I'm just gonna show up. Some of you are wired that way. Or remaining patient. Which one's easier for you? Which one's harder for you? The truth is, we need God's help for both. We don't need just the supernatural power and ability to stay. We need the supernatural and powerful ability to stay well. So our next big idea this morning, patience doesn't come naturally. None of you woke up this morning going, I just can't wait to exercise patience on people. Oh my goodness, I can't wait for that gal to spill coffee on my shoes and just demonstrate so much patience towards her. I can't wait, Lord, help me today. This guy's gonna corner me and ask me all these questions I don't want him to ask me. I just cannot wait to exercise patience with this person. None of y'all are doing that. Yay, setbacks, delays. God, I'm so excited. Thank you for this supernatural fruit of demonstrating patience. None of y'all are doing that. It is not natural. Additionally, impatience, that's not your personality type. We like to make excuses for our impatience, and we go like, well, I'm just a type A kind of dude, you know? I get jobs done, I execute it, get with the program, and get out. If you don't like it, see you later. I go, it's just my ADHD, man. That's just who I am. I'm super critical. I'm just going to tell you the way it is. Or it's just my Irish temper. Or it's like, hey, I'm walking here. I'm from New York. Scripture calls that personality type your sin nature. Patience doesn't naturally spring out of you. But Galatians 5 says patience is the evidence of God working in you. Naturally born, impatient, sinful people. God does something radically different in you when you've experienced the love and kindness of God and the patience and faithfulness of God. The evidence of that is he will help you become more patient. It's a fruit. Doesn't appear naturally, doesn't appear instantly. It's cultivated, walking, abiding, loving Jesus. And I can go again, a lot of directions when it comes to patience. We could talk about suffering and our trials and our persecution and our seasons of life and our singleness and our patience. But again, like faithfulness, I think patience grows a hard way in our relationships. And like I mentioned earlier, patience and faithfulness are rarely tested when life is groovy. Always tested by the people. The closest people in your world are gonna test your faithfulness and patience more than anyone on this planet. God, why did you put these people in my life? Oh, I get it. This is hard. You don't grow in patience when your kids sleep all night. You grow in patience when they get out of bed for the 38th time. I have a 14-year-old son who turns on at 10:30 at night after a full day of school and playing some Magic the Gathering and then playing some Minecraft and helping clean and helping with dinner and then cleaning up and then going to baseball practice. He'd be like, dude, you're ready for bed. And at 10:30, he clocks in. I don't even put him to bed anymore. Like, I want to be like, oh, we're the cute family. I kiss his head and I say a prayer for him on his bed. I'm like, I love you, buddy. I'm going to miss you. I miss you when I blink. For an hour. At 8 o'clock, I'm like, Wes, buddy, you have to get ready for bed. You have to stop. You've got to stop talking. Buddy, I don't want to hear about that D&D character anymore. Buddy, I don't think you should bug John about coming over. Wesley, you've got to stop. You've got to go to bed. I put myself into bed. I brush my teeth. Wesley, you've got to go to bed. I'm brushing my teeth. I'm getting myself clean. I'm getting my gym. Wesley, go to bed. And he's just talking. And he's just talking. And I put myself into bed. And I lay down. I'm like, Wesley, stop. Please stop. Go to bed. Wesley, I love you. Please stop, dude. And he's like, all right, Dad, I love you. And then he'll lay out flat across our bed. Just like, oh, he's a long kid. Not like a comfy weight on the side of our bed. He'll lay across our legs and just keep talking. He just keeps talking. Like, buddy, I love you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. But God, why him? Why are you putting this in my life? It's not enjoyable. It's cute. It's adorable. One day I'm going to complain. I'm complaining now. And it breaks my heart thinking about one day that boy is going to be gone. But oh my goodness, dude, go to bed. God has to help me. Patience. It's evident or not. When that same argument comes up with your roommate again and again, or patience shows up or it doesn't, when that promotion goes to that dude or that dudette who's clearly not qualified. I mean, we're humble. We're like, I'm not saying I'm better than anybody, but geez, are you kidding me? Her? When your spouse's spiritual growth feels stagnant, you're like, I want him to lead more, or I want her to... Patience. When your friend keeps canceling on all of the things, you're inviting them to 427 things. Come be a part of our lives. And they just keep ghosting you and disappointing you. Patience is what happens, or what doesn't happen, when you realize, oh, I don't have control over all of this. I guess I have control with my son. I could like grab his baseball bat and be like, Wesley, go to bed. But... that's how I was raised. That's how we solve things. That's just not how the Spirit of God works in home. But when you realize, oh, I don't have control over this. God has to help me. Patience. I want you to pause and ask yourself, who or what? But then go back to who. Okay, you're going to be like, what is it? And you're like, it's that person. Who is the hardest person in your life right now? Are they in this room? Don't look at them. Don't do that. I want you to hear something. You will either see those people, you will continue to see those people with bitterness and resentment, and you will grow more and more cold and bitter towards them. That can be evident in your life. Is that the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit? No. Or you will see those people the way that Jesus sees them. And you will exercise this supernatural ability that's not in you. That's patience. You'll see that these people and these delays, they're not interruptions to my spiritual growth. Oh, this is God's doing something here. That's going to be hard. When you feel the tension, oh, when you just want to give up, you just want to burn the bridge. Bye-bye. We have to remember that that's what is natural. That's easy. You're all good at that. But what the Lord wants to produce in you when you stay, when you demonstrate patience, that's supernatural. That's the fruit. That is the evidence that you have been loved by God. To Paul's prayer in Colossians chapter 1. I got it up here. Yeah. In verse 11, listen to Paul's prayer for the church. May you be strengthened with all power. Yeah. Strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. Oh. Oh. When we think about Apostle Paul praying for supernatural power for us to be strengthened according to God's glorious might, we're thinking like, yes, God, strengthen me to move mountains. I'll do anything, Lord. Open those doors. Woo! I want to part the Red Sea. Keep praying like that for me, Paul. I want to heal the blind. But Paul here in this text, he's talking about God releasing his heavy-duty power
into his children for endurance and patience. Oh, I don't want that superpower. I want moving mountain superpower. If God willed you to hurl a mountain into the sea, we'd be like, I believe. Let's do it. That'd be so easy. God said it. I believe it. I'm doing it. But when God's will is for you to stay faithful and endure with long suffering and with patience with this person, oh, that's hard. That seems impossible. Consider again, what feels like the biggest disruption, distraction in your life right now, the hardest person in the room for you today, may actually be the very thing God is using to form the character of Jesus Christ in you. So to close us out, I'll begin where we started. I believe the greatest help in demonstrating patience is to remember the patience and faithfulness of God towards you. And as Christians, we have a responsibility, an ability, a supernatural ability to mirror the patience of God towards one another, towards the unbelieving world around us. Mirror the patience of God. You guys know the verse in 2 Peter chapter 3. We always look at that verse in context, and we share it when we're sharing the gospel. We're talking to the unbelieving, the lost world, that God has been so patient towards you. God could right now, Jonathan Edwards, you're like a spider dangling over a fire. God could snatch you up with his wrath at any moment, and God's been so patient and kind with you, and God's patience has led you to repentance. Amen. Yes, but Peter is writing here. He's saying, beloved, think about how patient God's been towards you. God's been patient towards you. In Greek, it's two words. It's makros, which is long, and thumos, which is temper or passion. So it means long-tempered. The ability to hold your temper for a really long time. Scripture uses this word to describe God's posture towards us. If God were short-tempered like us, he would have unfriended humanity back in Genesis 3. He would have been done. Instead, he bears with us again and again. He shows us the mercy and gentleness and long-suffering love. That's the patience of God that we are called to reflect. Not on our own strength, by the power and the work of the Holy Spirit in you. This is who we are to be. We are to mirror the patience of God with those around us. Paul makes it practical in Colossians chapter 3. Put on then, as God's chosen one, he says here, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. Oh, man, and if anyone has a complaint, forgive one. Oh, man, that's a hard one. Why does that got to be in my Bible? None of those things are just internal. They're all passive. None of them are passive. They're all, like, I have to do these. I have to live this out with other people. That's the active part of bearing with one another. Bearing with one another is what love one another as Christ has loved you looks like, stretched out over a very long period of time. I'll say that again. Bearing with one another is what the love one another as Christ has loved you looks like, stretched out over a very long period of time. Are there people in your world that you've written off because you've just grown tired of demonstrating patience? And maybe you've had to write them off for good reasons. That's an unhealthy person. That's not a person that should be in my world. But I'm not really going there. I'm just talking about the people in our world, the people in your world. Are those people who you're just beginning to write off because you're just kind of done demonstrating this kind of patience towards them? You're faithful now to avoid them because something they said back in ninth grade. Where did we learn that? Where's that verse again? You guys had a verse that supports that? Where was that? No, it's not here. Patience, though, is what love one another looks like. Love one another like Christ has loved you looks like, stretched out over a long period of time. Now, this doesn't mean that patience means you'll never get frustrated. Oh my goodness, Lord, have mercy. You're going to be so frustrated, dude. There's so many frustrations. I'm looking at the color of this carpet this morning. It frustrates me. It's okay. God's helping me. It's just like the shining red rum red. Just kidding. This is a beautiful color. It's wine. Communion wine. I love it. Doesn't mean you're never going to be irritated. I am so easily irritated. God has to help. That is so natural. I'm not saying that's not just going to no longer happen, right? Things are going to irritate you. People still listen to the band Nirvana. That irritates me. God has to help me. Patience doesn't mean that you're never going to feel like you want to give up. I want to quit all the time. I was praying for a sickness so I could stay home. I didn't want to do this drive. I don't want to be away from my family. I'm anxious. I'm worried. I'm stressed. I'm old. I'm tired. I just want to give up a lot. Patience doesn't mean you're never going to feel like that. God has to help us. Things are hard. People are hard. God has to help us. When we get to that point where we're like, if I can't control this situation, I'm done. So I'm, as your friend, as a pastor, I'm just telling you this morning, I've been there. But when we start to believe that because we get irritated and we get frustrated and we want to quit and we're just done being faithful and we're done being patient and we just moved beyond being inconvenienced by people, I want you to understand something. When that happens in your heart, what's happening is you're starting to lose sight of God. You're starting to not see him. You're not abiding. You're not walking with him. You're not seeing God clearly when you start feeling that way. Let me say it like this. You can write this down. It'll last longer. When you forget how patient God has been with you, you will always run out of patience for others. Think about your own story. How many times you have ignored God, unfriended him, doubted him, repeated the same sin, same folly, needed the same correction over and over again, and he didn't walk away. He's been so patient and faithful to you. When was the last time you really thought about that? Man, God is so patient with me. I am the noisiest, brattiest little punk child, and God yet still treats me like I'm royalty. When was the last time you really thought like that? Man, God, you have been so patient towards me. Continues to be the most faithful and patient person towards you. He doesn't snap. He doesn't write you off. But he pursues. He demonstrates. God demonstrates his great love for you. When you were at your worst, Christ died for you. And that's the love that we've experienced. We've experienced that. That's the patience that we have received. So if God treats us with this much patience, how can we ever justify treating others with anything less? How? When we, people of God, who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, we have experienced the patience and faithfulness and love of God, how can we then refuse to demonstrate the same patience and long-suffering and love towards others? Listen, there is no believer in this room that does not have the supernatural ability to demonstrate patience. It's the fruit of God working in your life. You're walking with Jesus. You're abiding in Jesus. Whom have I in heaven but you? Earth, I have nothing desired beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God, you are the strength of my heart and my worship forever. God, help me today. That is the fruit of God working in your life. So when someone gets on your nerve this week, or in 20 minutes, when something doesn't go your way, remember, God, you gotta help me. God, help me to believe this today. This is not a disruption. God, you're in this. Help me model the love and patience of you. So I'll leave you two challenges, and then we'll get you out of here. One, ask the Lord daily to help you be patient with others. Just in the morning, God, there's going to be 300 disruptions to my life today. 27 people are going to rub me the wrong way. God, I expect it. Lord, it's going to happen. Help me demonstrate your patience, especially with those that are closest to you. Man, God is going to use the people in your world, whether you like it or not, to help conform you to be more like Jesus Christ. Man, he will use people and distractions and disappointments to help you grow. That's what he's doing. So ask the Lord to help you, especially with the local church. Be patient with the folks who are, they're 20 minutes late again. Choose patience when that person's having a bad day and they're just going off and they're barking. Choose patience when that guy goes off on his political rant or his gym exercises and his diet or whatever, their essential oils. Be patient when they just keep going on those things. Ask God to help you to be slow to accuse and to bite back those who have hurt you. Ask God to help you every day to be more patient with others. He will help you. And number two, I'll say this lastly, ask the Lord to help you be patient with yourself. I'll end here because it's something I think we often miss. You have got to learn to be more patient with yourself. By that I mean you need to be patient with the ongoing work of God conforming you to be more like Jesus Christ. Sanctification. Ask God to help you every day to be more patient with yourself. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to you're going to blow it. The negative thoughts that you struggle with, your mental health, your past, the feeling that you're just inferior to everyone else in this room. Why am I even here? Oh, I'm not that high and mighty. Oh, wow. You might look at your life right now and you go, man, I should be so much further along in life than I am right now. Beloved, some of you are incredibly hard on yourselves. Even so much patience and so much grace and so much faithfulness with others and none for yourself. I'm preaching to the choir. God has to help you when you feel like you don't measure up to other people, when your flesh condemns you and your past shames you, and when you feel like a total loser. Do not feed yourself with lies that the Lord would never say about you. What are you preaching to yourself? Is that how God the Father talks to you? Ask the Lord to help you be patient with one another. God has to help us. Ask the Lord to help you be patient with yourself. Fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness and patience. Let's ask the Lord for help now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the work of your Son in our lives. God, thank you for your faithfulness towards every one of us in this room. That God, you have had every reason to write us off, and yet you stay so faithful towards us. Jesus, would you help us to be more faithful? Would you help us to be the men and women who befriend faithfulness? We would be the men and women, the faithful man, the faithful woman that is hard to find. Lord, would you help us to be that? Would you help us to grow in these areas? Would you help us to be more faithful? God, even when we're faithless, you remain faithful. You cannot deny yourself. God, I ask by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would continue to move in your children in this room today. You would help us to be more faithful in the big things, in the little things, in the group chats, in the small groups, in the connecting, in the church. Help us to be faithful everywhere, God. Lord, just help us to be more patient. God, you've been so patient towards us. You continue to be so patient towards us even right now when we are distracted and nervous and anxious about whatever. God, you're so patient with us. You're just saying, would you just come over here and would you give that to me? And you can just rest. How about that? God, would you help us to be patient people? That's not natural. God, we need your help. And we believe that's what you do in our lives. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would help us to be the faithful man and woman you've called us to be in our circles of influence, our world, our loved ones, into the unbelieving world. Jesus, use us, help us to be lights in a world that reflects you in a beautiful way. We need your help to believe this. We need your help to apply it. We say that in your name. Amen. Amen. Great.